Good morning. It's 11:45. Stephen Allen sitting in today. There's a story which I want to get your take on. It's the Royal College of Physicians that have dropped their opposition to assisted dying. It's an interesting one. Hospital doctors have dropped their 13-year opposition to the concept of helping terminally ill patients die. So many bits to try and walk through on this. It's following a poll of its members. The Royal College of Physicians have now adopted a neutral stance on the issue of assisted dying. So neutral means, you know, not in favour of, but no longer holding that opposition. And in a second, we'll talk to the two guests. We'll get their details of who they are. And we'll talk about the different angles that is to do with... Hey, there's such a complicated issue. Many cases that have been in the news recently about this. So we've got Lloyd Ridley, who's a policy and research manager for Dignity in Dying. And we can also speak with Dr. Mark Pickering, chief executive of Christian Medical Fellowship. So I guess, seeing as the biggest change has been in the dropping this 13-year opposition, I'll turn to Mark first of all and say, what do you think of the change?
I think it's important to note that the change is a decision by the RCP Council in advance of the vote that was taken. The vote that the poll that the RCP did amongst its members shows that opposition to assisted dying is still by a significant margin the most prevalent view amongst its members. But the Council took the bizarre and unprecedented step of deciding in advance that they would go neutral, and then requiring a 60% supermajority in order to change that. And I think it's clear that the Council has been influenced by people like Ray Tallis, who are supporters of assisted suicide, in order to do that as part of a wider agenda to change the law. So this is not anything about the change of grassroots doctors' opinions.
Lloyd, do you want to come back to that, this bizarre move, apparently ignoring grassroots opinion?
Yeah, I think this is a really important development. The college is catching up with the views of its members. I mean, you have to respect Mark's clever trick to try and present this as evidence that doctors oppose a change in the law when less than half of the 7,000 doctors that responded were of that view. I think any reasonable person listening to this will recognise that neutrality is a perfectly appropriate stance for the college to adopt to represent the views of its members.
Mark, yeah, should they not be neutral, because their job isn't to effectively steer what could be policy? They're there to be representing the medical side of things, yeah?
Sure. I mean, it sounds so reasonable, doesn't it? You know, we should be neutral because there are different views. When the college last polled its members in 2014, 44.4% of the doctors were opposed to the college taking... thought the college should be opposed to assisted dying. This time it was 43.4. It's virtually unchanged. Those who wanted the college to be neutral were only 25%. It was the third option amongst it, the least favoured option, and yet the College Council have decided to do that. So there hasn't been a significant change amongst RCP members. This is people on council taking a decision that they are going to put themselves across as neutral. And I think we have to see this as part of the wider campaign to change the law. And if you look at the Dignity in Dying press release, they have put it just as we knew: doctors dropped their opposition. And that's exactly what will be put to Parliament, that doctors are no longer opposed to assisted suicide, and therefore we should change the law. We know that there is a divergence of opinion amongst doctors, that there are many strong voices within the medical community who support assisted suicide, but they are still a minority, and they are still, then, you know, even in something like this where there's a three-way vote, they're not the most prevalent view, and therefore it's quite disingenuous, I think, to take this view. But we know that people like Dignity in Dying and Lloyd himself will be putting this view to Parliament and giving the view that this is something about a change of doctors' grassroots opinions.
So, Lloyd, and we can carry on talking like the minutiae of detail of numbers for a while, but at some point we are going to widen it up to wider points. But if you want to talk percentages for a little bit longer, we can, Lloyd. But to that point about, will you be using this as a way of trying to spin bigger change than has actually happened?
I was going to say, Stephen, I think we can get bogged down in the figures. The reality is there's an actual legal challenge to the RCP's action that was left out of court this week. So I think that's the final word on that. As I said, I think neutrality is an incredibly important stance for the college to take to speak for its members. But more importantly than that, reflects public opinion and the opinion of dying people, and that's what we should really be focusing on here. The current law is not working at all. People who can afford it are being forced to travel to Switzerland for an assisted death, and those that can't afford it often have to suffer at the end of their lives despite being in receipt of the highest quality end-of-life care. And in the 21st century, that's just simply not acceptable. So that's why it's so important that the Royal College of Physicians has caught up with its members.
And you do understand that today's news isn't that they agree with you. You're not claiming it as that at all. They are neutral, so that means they don't agree with you. They also don't disagree with you.
Of course, and I think that's the right stance for medical bodies to take, and it lays down a marker for the Royal College of GPs and the British Medical Association to catch up. But you're entirely right, doctors shouldn't be trying to sway this debate either way. Ultimately, that's a decision for society and for Parliament. I think Parliament now needs to take a close look at, like I said, the opinion of dying people, but also the extensive evidence of safe practice of assisted dying around the world in places like the USA, Australia. They've come up with compassionate solutions to fix the problems of their current laws, and I think it's now time that we do the same.
So, Mark, so with your name being, you know, having doctor at the start of it, and your job title's got Christian in there, which part is it of you? Is it the doctor or the Christian that has an issue with assisted dying?
Quite simply, it's both. And I think it's a real problem that people who are supporters of assisted suicide try to say that, oh, it's only a religious argument that stops us changing the law on assisted suicide. I've argued in the BMJ recently that the arguments against assisted suicide, they stand on their own and they're evidence-based. And it just so happens that people of a religious faith tend to listen to them more than some other people do. But you can't dismiss them as being just religious arguments, because they're not. That's just lazy.
So let's give us some of those objections, and then you can speak directly to Lloyd, and Lloyd, you can speak directly. You know, I don't need to chair the whole thing. So let's discuss this.
Sure. I mean, I think the chief objections are really about the effect on vulnerable people. You know, there are some people dying who really do want assisted dying. I'm not denying that at all. But you hear percentages quoted in the media about 80% of the public want assisted suicide. This is not 80% of dying people. It's generally 80% of what we might call the worried well. People who say, oh, I wouldn't want a wheelchair, I wouldn't want to have a peg tube feed, I wouldn't want to have this disease or that disease. Mm. When you actually ask people who've gone into those situations, the numbers who still want assisted suicide is vanishingly rare.
So, Mark, we don't have to talk in hypotheticals here. Assisted dying has been legal in the USA for 20 years. We have, as I say, extensive evidence that the law works really well. The Hospice Association in Oregon was initially opposed for similar reasons that you've just expressed. But once the law changed, they realised that this was perfectly in line with the other options at end of life that they were providing. I think it's really important that we learn from that evidence. And that's exactly what the countries that I mentioned, Australia and Canada, have carried out extensive investigations into that practice of assisted dying and arrived at the recommendation that the law must change in their countries.
But Lloyd,
I don't think these fears stand up to scrutiny.
Lloyd, I imagine we all three of us probably watched that Louis Theroux documentary on this issue. And there were some interesting questions that were raised there, because whilst we can almost dismiss the stat about 80% are in favour of it, because as Mark says, it's the worried well. So actually, they don't need to make that decision. Doesn't matter what they think. It's the people who are forced with that decision who are therefore more vulnerable than everyone else. And that's the worry, isn't it? That the people who would be making the decision are at their most vulnerable out of their entire life.
I think that's why it's so important to have safeguards in the piece of legislation, which they have been contained in what's been put before Parliament in recent years. And the key thing to note is there's absolutely no safeguards in the current law. If Mark is concerned about vulnerable people being pressured, then how can he be okay with a law that sends people to Dignitas if they wish to go? Or allows decisions to be made by doctors rather than dying people themselves?
Mark, I mean, I think we lost the line for a little bit, but we get the point there. What's your take on the current situation? It's not the ideal that you'd like. So how do you square that circle?
The current legal situation makes it clear that there is lots of potential for abuse with dying people, and pressure can be brought to bear on them. And that's why assisting a suicide is still a crime. Now, it's incredibly rare for people to be prosecuted for that. And concerned relatives who really are just following their relatives' wishes and helping them to Switzerland, they don't get prosecuted. Mm. And so, you know, there's a lot of fear-mongering put across about what the law is doing. But when you look at Oregon, it's a good example. I think it's 55% of the people in 2017 who died under the Oregon Act. They cited feeling a burden as one of the main reasons why they opted for assisted suicide. Now, that is not the kind of health system I want to work in, where people are opting for assisted suicide because they feel a burden. And when Parliament in the UK has looked at it, they decided that no safeguard can stop that from happening, and that pressure would be brought to bear, whether real or imagined.
But you can also see how there's no point having a law...
vulnerable people.
But, Mark, you can also see how there's no point having a law that only works well when it's not used.
I'm sorry?
There's no point having a law that you said very few people are actually prosecuted under it. So you can't have as a reason why the law is working at the moment because it's not often used to prosecute someone who has helped a dying relative. You can't have a law that works well when it's not enacted. Otherwise...
Can I just add to that, Stephen, actually? Although nobody has been prosecuted, it's really important to note that loving family members often... currently grieving are arrested and investigated by police. Anne Whaley recently, you might have seen in the press, whose husband Jeff was investigated by police. That caused a great amount of trauma
Mark, reply to that. Yeah, let Mark have a retort.
Lloyd, how often do they get arrested? You use the word arrested. I don't think that's accurate.
The answer to that question is revealing, Mark, because we don't know, because there are no safeguards or regulations under the current law.
Do you know what? Fascinating stuff.
And I think we would know if people are actually being arrested. You know, yes, they may get talked to by the police, which is right and proper. I would hate to have a situation when people were being taken off to assisted suicide clinics and nobody was actually scrutinising those decisions.
Do you know, this is fascinating. We're going to have to leave it there for time reasons, but I think we've covered some ground, and at some point I hope we all get together again on the radio and get to discuss this further. Thank you to Lloyd Ridley, Policy and Research Manager for Dignity in Dying, and Dr. Mark Pickering, Chief Executive of Christian Medical Fellowship.